And turn to Matthew chapter number 27. Let's limit interruptions now. If you must step out for an emergency, we understand. Make sure your cell phone doesn't interrupt our service. Matthew chapter 27, verse number 27. And might I ask you, out of reverence to the Word of God, stand with me. I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. Matthew chapter 27, verse number 27, and I'll read. The Bible says, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. When they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come into a place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet: 'They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots.' And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written: 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.'" Let me pray. Father, bless us with thy presence. God, dip deep into the minds and the hearts of these people in a unique, eternal, supernatural way. Take the reins of our emotions and guide us through the sermon today. Help someone to get a question answered about suffering. Comfort someone. Bless us, Lord, with thy presence, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I call the sermon, and you may be seated. I call the sermon just simply that question: why suffering? This passage that we just read describes the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Though you might not understand it, and I might not totally understand it, he suffered as no man ever suffered. If I could, I'll allude some to his suffering. He left heaven to come to this earth. And might I say to you, unless you understand how magnificent heaven is, you wouldn't realize the culture shock and the culture change that he went through. But he left a perfect heaven to come to this sin-cursed world. What suffering! He left heaven's safety to come and to be virtually open game for the devil. He was separated from his Father. Immediately, he was despised when he arrived here. Herod wanted him dead. He was hunted. Can you imagine, as a toddler, there was a contract on his life? Can you imagine having a son that was just an infant, knowing that there was someone out to destroy and to kill him, and everybody looked right this way? As Jesus began to grow up, I'm sure he had to face some of the very same struggles that all boys did. Now, he was the perfect Son of God, but he was also a little boy. He lived right. You wouldn't think it, but you know, when he was a boy, when he was doing right, when the other kids on the block were doing wrong, I'm sure he was teased about it and mocked and called a square or Goody Two Shoes or a Billy Bible or however they mocked him. You got to remember, Jesus Christ, he was honored in heaven and dishonored on earth. He was respected in heaven and disrespected on earth. In heaven, he was surrounded by truth. On the earth, he was surrounded by lies. In heaven, he was surrounded by the good. And on earth, he was surrounded by so much bad. Even the water. Go from place to place and taste the water. I can't imagine what the water tastes like in heaven, but I can tell you this: there's a river of life, and the water is as pure can be. And he came down here and drank our water. Enough said. His heart of love suffered as he was hated. His clean mind suffered at the hands of dirty men. His spirit of truth suffered as people lied about him and to him. His feelings for justice suffered as he was cheated upon by unjust people. He went from the pearly gates to poverty. The heavenly food, and again, if you can imagine, I like the taste of food now. Matter of fact, a little bit too much. But I like the taste of food now. Can you imagine the delicacies in a perfect heaven? He left that. He came down here. And folks, though you and I enjoy our food here, it is tainted compared to the way it's going to be in a perfect heaven. Oh, and he did that. He went from that perfect heaven to this place. His hands suffered as they nailed him to a cross. His ears suffered as they mocked and abused his Father's name. His back suffered as they placed a cross upon his beaten back that he might carry it himself up Golgotha's hill. His back suffered as they had taken a cat of nine tails and beat him within inches of his life till his back was a bloody mess. And then that cross that he carried was placed on his back on an old bumpy road, and they just tore his back to shreds. His back suffered. His feet suffered as they were dried and chapped. Then they drove nails through his feet. His eyes suffered as he seen the religious fakes and frauds of his day crucify him in the name of religion. His head suffered as they beat him with staves and sticks and put a crown of thorn upon his head. His face suffered as they plucked out his beard and they spat upon him. His side suffered as they drove a spear into his side. Oh, how Jesus' muscles suffered. It ached from the beating. He slept on a cold stone prison floor, and his body and his muscles and his bones ached as he carried a cross, and he had to hang there, and he ached and he suffered. He suffered on the cross. Who caused that suffering? Suffering that you and I will never totally understand. He was the perfect, sinless Son of God. He never did anything to anybody. He only did right, but he suffered as no man has ever suffered. Why? Why did he suffer like that? I wish I could give you all the reasons today. I had someone recently say to me, "Pastor, why do I suffer like this?" I would have given anything to have given them the total, complete answer. But I couldn't. I couldn't. I'm human. I'm limited in what I can see and what I can say. But you say, well, why did Jesus suffer so? I think only God knows the whole reason for that suffering. But folks, let me tell you something. When you and I suffer, I guess we have a chance to be like Him. Brother Robert and I were talking earlier today a little bit about the sermon, and I was sharing with him a little of the sermon, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "we all suffer. We all suffer." And folks, I have to tell you, though I'm going to give you some reasons that the Bible teaches we suffer, I can't give you all the reasons. And I want to give you a reason that helps you. And I hope that somehow a truth can find a place in your heart and you can snuggle up close to it and it helps you. But you have to understand something. Everybody look right this way. You have to understand something. When we get to heaven, we'll figure some of it out. But only God knows why we would suffer. When we suffer, we have the chance to be like Him. Remember, only God knows the reasons why Jesus suffered. Only God knows the reason why you suffer. In this great sea of faces that sets before me today, there are smiles, but there are broken-hearted people. There are men in this room that have broken hearts who have suffered. There are women in this room. You say, well, I watched, they were singing earlier. Oh, many a person will sing with a smile on their face, with tears rolling down the inside of their heart. There are teenagers in here that are brokenhearted, suffering. There are children here. And though you might not think, well, a child's burden is a child's burden, let me say to you, a child's burden is as big to a child as a teenager's burden is big to a teenager, as big as an adult burden is to an adult. Oh, don't take a child's burden lightly. And don't take a teenager's burden lightly. And you say, Brother Owens, their burden's not as big as mine. You just don't know how big their burden is to them, just like you think your burden is big to you. There are single parents in this room who are suffering. There are marriages that find themselves in a situation of suffering. There are senior citizens that sit under the sound of my voice today, and in their life there is suffering. There are widows in this room that are suffering. There are widowers in this room that are suffering today. There's some brand new Christians. And you know, I apologize to you. There's a part of religion that tells you, get Jesus and all your problems will go away. I'm very sorry. That's not true. Getting saved does not make all your problems go away. But I'll tell you what it does do. Getting saved will help you have one that can help you through your problems. But there are brand new Christians under the sound of my voice who are suffering. There are some veterans Christians, you've been saved for a long time, but you're suffering. Somebody here, you feel like you've been betrayed, or maybe someone's lied about you, or you're wounded. Maybe you wounded yourself, maybe somebody else wounded you. Maybe you're sick or confused. Some people suffer very quietly. Some people share about it. Some we know about, they're suffering. Others, you have no idea they're suffering. Why do we suffer? I think God only knows all the reasons, but I can tell you this. It's been my honor and privilege to spend my life helping people that are hurting. I enjoy helping a lot of people, but there's just something about the privilege of helping hurting people that is rewarding. And though you might not be hurting right now, please listen to me this morning, because though you might not be hurting now, your chance will come. I don't wish that upon you. I don't wish that upon anybody. If you're young and you say, Brother Owen's suffering, life is so exciting and thrilling to me right now, I hope it stays that way. I honestly do. But I've lived enough life that the people that have smiles on their faces today and the sea is calm, they find out in a few weeks, in a few months, there are storms and there are hurts and there's suffering that they'll face. Just stay with me. Again, I'll be extremely practical today. May I say, first of all, nobody knows all the reasons for our suffering but God. Listen to this. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Here it said there's a trial of our faith. Tried with fire. That means when you're on the hot seat. But you got to understand something. When it talks about a trial of our faith, does it mean that our faith will be tried? Sure. But could it also mean that we will go through trials, that we'll just have to go through them by faith? Indeed, it does. And I wish I could hand you the answer to your mental anguish that some of you face. Why is this happening? Why am I going through this? Why me? I might not be able to tell you why you, but I will tell you one thing. There is a God in heaven, and that God knows why you're going through what you're going through. And that God loves you, and that God's not trying to do something to you. That God is trying to do something for you. And it is only God that knows all the reasons for our suffering. And every once in a while, someone will say, well, that person right there, they're suffering and that's the judgment of God. May I plead on behalf of people that you don't talk that way. You don't know why someone is suffering. And for you to pass judgment on someone and say God's punishing them, that's not your place. It's not the Christian's place to be looking at someone and saying God's getting them. I'll tell you something, you don't know what God's doing. We need to show mercy and kindness upon people. Hey, you don't know why I suffer, and I don't know for sure why you suffer, but God does. And it ought to help you to know that God does, and you can have peace in that. I can't tell you all the reasons why you suffer, but I can tell you this, there is a reason. God knows what it is. It's not to destroy you. God wants to make you. God wants to help you. But nobody knows all the reasons for suffering. You could watch your television and watch Dr. Phil and Oprah and you could watch Dr. Oz and the Tin Man and everybody. You could watch, but I'm just going to tell you, the God of the universe is the one that knows why. And he is trustworthy and he knows what he's doing. Number two, sometimes our suffering is so God gets glory. Psalm 50 verse 15 says, and call upon me in the day of trouble I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Somebody is going through a time of trouble. And God said, I'm going to get glory out of that. He's the only one that knows all the reasons. Now, for some of you that are younger Christians, what I'm about to say might be a little difficult for you, but I wish you'd trust it. God has a right to get from us what He needs. You say, well, why am I suffering? Wonder if God looked down and said, I am going to glorify myself through something you're going to go through. Now, a little part of you might say, well, I'd rather you not get glorified then. And I understand that. But let me promise you, God always does what's best for you. And God always does what's best. And God always does what's right. Look, He created us. Christian, He owns us. He may choose to get glory to Himself any way He deems fit. And you say, preacher, it makes no sense to me. I can't figure out why I'm suffering. Why am I going through this? Well, I will tell you this. God sometimes allows someone to suffer or go through a time of trouble because in it, somehow God will be glorified. So you say, what do I do? Keep on praising Him during your trouble. Why? That glorifies Him. Hey, stay faithful to Him and to church during your suffering. Why? That glorifies Him. Keep on trusting Him during your suffering. You say, why? That glorifies God. Keep on telling others about Jesus. You say, why? Because that glorifies God. Hey, God may be getting glory to Himself in ways that you would never imagine, and it might be as a result of the hardship you're going through. Make sure that your behavior during a time of suffering aids the glorification of God, not hinders it. And you might say, well, I'm not sure that's fair. God is always fair. You say, you mean I'm suffering and I don't get an explanation and He's doing it for His glory? Yes. You say, that's okay? Yes. Yes. You say, that's hard on me. I'm sorry, I don't want it to be hard on you, but you need to know there's sometimes we suffer for God's glory. Let me say this, we may be suffering so that we might be an example to others. You say, why am I suffering? Well, nobody knows all the reasons, but it could be for God's glory. But wait, maybe you're suffering. Maybe there have been times of suffering in my life, and God wanted me to be an example of how to suffer. You know, we need people to show us how to do it. I remember when my dad was showing me how to ride my bike. Do you know that he got on my bike? He said, this is how you ride a bike. He made it look doable, possible. Do you realize God needs somebody to climb on the bike of suffering and ride it up the road with some experience to show some of the people that are not sure how to suffer the right way to suffer? And folks, there are right and wrong ways to suffer. Should not the Christian suffer with a certain dignity? Should not the Christian suffer with a certain faith? Should not the Christian suffer in such a way that we would honor the God that we serve? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4 and 5 says this, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labor, in watching, and fasting. You know, all of that sounds pretty rough. Notice afflictions, necessities, distresses, stripes, imprisonments, turmoil, labor, watchings. Oh my, hey, somebody is going through a tough time. You know what's happening? Somebody will watch you so they can learn how to suffer. There may be a husband that's suffering in this room. God may use that to help your wife to know how to successfully, spiritually, in a strong way suffer. Maybe there's a son that is watching you suffer, or a daughter that's watching you suffer. Folks, lost people watch us suffer. Can I tell you something? If you're a born-again Christian, saved people are supposed to suffer different than lost people. There's to be a faith. Maybe you have a parent that's watching you suffer. Maybe there's a younger Christian watching you suffer. Listen to this. You say, "Preacher, my health, it's terrible what I'm suffering." I want to encourage you. I'm sorry you have bad health. But you know, every once in a while I wonder if an older Christian suffers in the health category because there's a young Christian that soon will suffer. And God said, "I love that young Christian. And you're going to suffer in your health. And I'm going to use you as an example to show that young Christian how to make it." God's saying, "I love you. I'm not mad at you. You're not being disciplined. You're going to suffer some to train a younger Christian on how to suffer properly when they go through hard times health-wise." And you Pharisees that say, "Well, he's sick because he's bad." He may be sick because he's good. Maybe that God couldn't trust you with sickness because you become bitter and nasty and angry and hateful and vengeful. But God picked someone and said, "That dear sweet saint of God, they're going to suffer some conflict in their health. But boy, people are going to watch them. People are going to learn how God's good even through the difficult times and how God still puts a smile on their face." Let me say to you, suffering, sometimes we end up being an example unto the believers. God wanted someone to learn how to suffer. I can't tell you all the reasons why we suffer. That only God can do that. But I think sometimes it is just flat out one thing. God did it to get glory for God. And He deserves what glory He chooses. But sometimes it's because He needed someone to be an example to another in regard to suffering. Thirdly, it may be that you're suffering because God is correcting you. And I don't come as a lynchman. I don't come as a police officer for God now. I come to you as someone that loves you. But you know, the Bible teaches that we can go through some suffering because we do wrong. I had children. They suffered a few times in life when they did wrong. You might have had children that went through the same. Let me read to you something from Hebrews chapter 12. In verse 9 and 10, it says, Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they barely for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. And I'll tell you something. When I disciplined my children, I never did that because I hated my children. I disciplined my children because I love my children. The Bible says a child left to himself bringeth its mother to shame. We are to correct our children. And here God is saying, "I love my children. There'll be times when I will correct them." They will go through times of chastisement. And chastisement to me is suffering. Now remember, only God knows. Only God knows this. But our earthly fathers and mothers, they would punish, if you will. So does God. But He does it according to this verse. It says, for our profit. You say, "What's God doing to me?" Oh, you've got the wording all wrong. What's God doing for you? When you slap your hands, your child's hand when they try to stick their finger in the socket, that pain wasn't intended to destroy them. What were you doing? You were salvaging them. And every once in a while, Christian, God will do this to you. Say, "Is He trying to destroy me?" No, God loves you. He's trying to keep you from getting yourself in more trouble. If you do wrong, you may suffer. You say, "Is that God getting me?" It's God trying to give you direction in your life. Folks, if you do wrong by God financially, you might suffer financial loss. You know, God is a loving God, and He will correct us. I got to tell you a dream. I had a dream. It's about my three deacons. You say, "That's a nightmare." Well, in some cases it might be. I had this dream. My three deacons, they all died. And believe it or not, they went to the bad place. They didn't go to heaven. Sorry, fellas. They all went to the bad place, and they got down there. And Brother Steed got there. And the devil said, "Come over here, Steed." He took a pair of handcuffs and handcuffed Brother Steed to this ugly, ugly woman and said, "That's what you get, Steed. That's your punishment for life." I thought, good gravy, what a dream. Then they took a pair of handcuffs, and Brother Young, one of the other deacons, they handcuffed an ugly lady to him. And the devil said, that's what you get, young. Then Brother Nossinger stepped up. They took a pair of handcuffs and handcuffed him to the most beautiful woman you've ever seen. And the devil looked at the lady and said, see, lady, that's what you get. That's suffering for you, brother. I wish I could tell you all the reasons why we suffer. In my heart, as a pastor and as a man that enjoys helping people, I would love to give everyone the reason why. I can't. Sometimes we suffer because God is getting glory to Himself. Sometimes we suffer because we're to be an example to others. Sometimes we suffer because we're being corrected. If your suffering is due to a misbehavior, you know, I think sometimes we can have health problems and they can be self-inflicted suffering. Sometimes we have financial suffering and it's self-inflicted. I'm sorry, folks, you know, you say, well, I'll tell you what, I've got a mess on my hands financially, that mean devil. Well, you're the one that used your credit card until you're just going crazy with it. Now, you're suffering, and I realize it's self-inflicted, and I'm not minimizing. That is suffering. But sometimes there's suffering that comes our way, and it's suffering of correction. You know, relationships suffer. You say, why? And sometimes it's self-inflicted. And let me on behalf of God say this. Folks, if you're suffering, and you brought it on because of your dumb decisions, stop taking it out on Him. I'm mad at God. Well, you're the one that got drunk and wrecked your car. I'm mad at God. My, how unjust we can be. But I do have to tell you, the Bible clearly teaches that there is some suffering that is God disciplining us as Christians. Now, I don't go around saying that God's disciplining him, and you shouldn't go around saying God's disciplining her. You leave that to God. You've got your hands full figuring out the mess you've got going on in your own life. We don't need you passing judgment on everybody else. But as a pastor, I need to tell you, sometimes we suffer because God is disciplining us. But only that, maybe sometimes we suffer because we are reaping something that we have sown. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And remember, only God knows the reasons behind suffering. But maybe, because the Bible teaches this concept of sowing and reaping, maybe we're suffering and we're reaping something that we've sown. I can remember times in my life where I was suffering, and I felt like I was reaping what I had sown. So you know, that's between me and God. Do you suffer? You say, well, I feel cheated, and I'm suffering because someone cheated me. You might want to glance back and ask yourself, have I ever cheated anyone? Am I suffering as a result of reaping what I have sown? Somebody lied to me, and that hurts. You ever lied to anyone? It's funny how bad lying is when somebody's lying to us. Not as bad when we were the one doing the lying, huh? But doesn't it make sense? You and I could be suffering today because we're reaping something bad that we sowed yesterday. They lost their temper with me. So you have never lost yours with anyone? Well, that hurt. I'm suffering because they lost their temper with me. Just think back. For some of you, just think back 30 minutes ago. So, I'm trying to just help a group of people that I love. I have to tell you that I think sometimes you and I might suffer because we are reaping what we have sown. You say, it hurts. That man won't forgive me. Is there somebody you haven't forgiven? Well, you're sure to know that they won't forgive you, and that hurts. Well, how about the one that you won't forgive? See, why is my life, why is there so much pain in my life? Well, you might be reaping what you have sown. Remember, nobody can tell you all the reasons why one suffers. That's left to God. But sometimes God lets us suffer because God is getting glory for Himself. Sometimes we suffer because God is wanting us to be an example to someone else on the right way to suffer. Sometimes it's God correcting us, slapping our hand. Sometimes God is just doing what He promised. He said, you sow, you reap. We like it when we sow good and we reap good. You say, oh, I love that concept when it's about good. But when it's the negative, well, God's a fair and honest God. If He said you're going to reap what you sow, then it's going to be for positive or negative. Maybe right now, you might be suffering. Right now you say, I've got a relationship that's a mess. Well, you have relationships from the past that were a mess because of you. You're reaping. But that's not all. Maybe we suffer because God wants to teach us something. God's training us. Psalm 119, verse 71, it says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Remember, only God knows why you're suffering. You don't have a pastor that's looking out into your life saying, let me tell you why you're suffering. I'm not. I'm looking into the Bible telling you why God says we suffer. Do you turn? Let me tell you. The Bible says here, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Did you know that when we suffer, it can help us to learn about God? Do you turn your heart toward God when you're going through suffering? I'll tell you what. When life knocks the holy snot out of me, eventually I turn to God and say, did you want something? Sometimes it takes me a couple days. I'm trying to get quicker at it. When I see a Mack truck coming at me, going to mow me down emotionally, I'm ready to say, hey, if you wanted some, let me know. There's a simpler way to teach me. I'm more than willing. But let me tell you something. There are people in this room, you're suffering. Why haven't you turned more to God? You've turned to yourself, you've turned to your feelings, you've turned to other things. If I were you, I'd turn to Him. And all you have to do is say, Father, did you want to teach me something? I have to tell you, the heartaches that I've had in life, I don't want to relive any of them, and I don't want to go through any of them again. But the experience and what they have taught me has become very valuable to me. When I get the call, either from my congregation or congregations across the nation, and someone says, preacher, we need you. My first thought is, how could I help? And then I realize, in the times when I was suffering, I learned some things that can help people. And I'm able to use those. Let me tell you something, folks. Some of the greatest lessons in life are learned at times of suffering. Times of betrayal can teach you things. Times of loneliness can teach you things. Times of personal pain. I don't know about you, but I know about me. Suffering softens this old prideful, hard-headed, arrogant, mean man. And suffering can teach you things you've got to learn. Suffering can mold you. I love looking in my Bible. I love finding truth. I love that sort of a thing. But in the time of devastation, do I really find some great things in the Bible? I mean, when everything is falling apart, I'm just grabbing for things. I'll say, wow, I never noticed that there in the book of Psalms. I never seen that before. I needed it. God sometimes lets you and I suffer because there's something that He needed to teach us. And when we're hard-headed, arrogant, full of pride, too busy for God, we don't learn it. So what's He do? Well, He can knock you flat on your back, knock the wind out of you, make you feel like you don't have anything in the world. You'd be flat on your back looking up saying, there's only one way to look right now. It's up. And did you want something? God said, do we have your attention? Yes, sir. Those are some things I want to teach you. And you know, that's a blessing of God. Thank God for that. Thank God wants to teach you. Hey, Let me give you one more and then we'll be on our way. Maybe you're suffering because God is preparing you for a greater service to Him, a greater ministry. John 12:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Huh. Remember, nobody really knows why we suffer but God. But it could be that God is getting ready to do something greater in our life. This said, if the corn is going to bring forth fruit, it's got to die, and then it'll be resurrected. Now that dying business, that doesn't sound good to me. That doesn't sound pleasant. There are times, folks, when our flesh needs to die so that the spiritual part of us is resurrected and strong. The corn seed dies, and then it sprouts up, and there's fruit that comes from it. You look at Jesus. Jesus had a wonderful thing going, but I can tell you something. He died. He suffered. He suffered like no man ever suffered. Now, if it would have stopped there, we would have all walked around with a big question mark on our face. Did it stop there? He got up out of the grave. Then what? He saved me. That's good. He saved you. You say, "Preacher, I'm suffering." I know. Sometimes that suffering is God preparing you for something bigger. Something better. And it's not always the bigger that you think. Sometimes it's the bigger that God thinks. What are you doing to me, God? It's what are you doing for me, God? I don't understand, God would say. I do. Why are you doing this? I've got my reason. Trust me, and we're going to get through this. Are you finished with me? Are you dead? Nope. I'm not finished with you. Do you realize? If you are still alive, all your suffering is for something that God's cooking. He's getting something ready. I can't explain it all. Why am I suffering? I tell you this, every once in a while I think somebody suffers because it brings salvation in a life. I was visiting a man, one of the best men you'll ever meet in your life. His name was Ray Montgomery. Ray was a big old fella, just as happy as he could be, carried candy around in his pockets all the time. He was one of the deacons of a church that I pastored, and the children would come in, and they called him the candy man, and Ray would hand him a piece of candy. I never seen Ray do anything mean or harsh to anybody, and Ray got sick, and he got a disease in his blood, and it got so bad, it dried up his skin. I mean, all over his face, he looked like a reptile that was shedding his skin, and they couldn't figure out what it was, and it itched him. He couldn't sleep. He had stayed awake for weeks and weeks in a row. He could not sleep because of it. I would go in and the tears would run down his face, and he just itched, and he was in pain, and he was dying, and they knew it, and he knew it. And he said to me one day, he said, "Preacher," he said, "I am in such misery." He said, "Now, preacher, I want you to pray. I've got a couple relatives that are not saved, and they're going to come visit me, and they need to get saved." And they came to visit, and they didn't get saved. I was in at the hospital the day that Ray went to heaven. I'd never seen a guy suffer quite like that. And he passed. He died. And about 3 days later, I did a funeral. And at the funeral, the two relatives got saved. You say, what a tragic ending. Oh, what a wonderful ending. Ray Donitz no more. And two relatives got saved as a result of his suffering. And I'm not trying to be hyper-spiritual. I'm just here to tell you, God knows what He's doing, folks. Trust Him. Trust Him. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. He suffered like no man, but there was a reason. If you're here today and you're suffering, maybe you found the reason why in something that I've taught. Maybe not. But at least you could understand. God knows what He's doing. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First question I would ask is, are you a born-again Christian? Are you saved? If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? And if you would say, I don't know that. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. I don't know that I'm saved. Pastor Owens, I don't want to die and go to hell, but I don't know that I'd go to heaven. Would you please pray for me? I do not know that I'm born again. Would you raise your hand right now and say, I don't know. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I'm born again. If you'll raise your hand, I'll pray with you. I've seen a hand. Somebody else, you say, I could join that one and raise my hand. Well, let me ask this then. Who here, you're in church? Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to God. Don't lie in church. Who here would say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. If I died today, I know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand and let God see it as a testimony? I know I'm saved. You may put your hands down. If you couldn't raise your hand, I wish you'd trust Christ as your Savior. But those of you that could raise your hand, God bless you. I'm glad you know that you're saved. That's so encouraging. Oh, but let me ask. Hey, would you say, Pastor, there's some sufferings in my life. Oh, this does not necessarily mean physical, but it might mean physical. It might be emotional. It might be something that you're just going through. Maybe people know, maybe people don't know. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to single you out. I'm not going to do that. Maybe you're a young person, you're a teenager, maybe you're an adult, but who here would say, Pastor, there are sufferings in my life. There are things that I'm dealing with. Would you please pray for me in regard to them? If you'll raise your hand, there are hands up all over the place. I'm going through some things. Pray for me. God bless you. Lots and lots of hands. Amen. You may put those hands down. In a moment, I will pray for you. I just hope that you'll have faith in God. I hope that you'll understand that God knows what He's doing. We're going to have an altar call. In a moment, the pianist will begin to play and we'll all stand to our feet. After you have stood to your feet, if you would like a moment at this altar, don't be shy about it. Just leave your seat, come down here and talk to God for a moment. Say, Lord, I'm suffering. And help me. Help me through it. Help me with it. And He will. He will. And some of you, maybe a little light came on today and you say, you know, I've been mad at God, but I realize I brought some of my suffering on myself. And there's somebody that's hurt me and I realize, but I've hurt some people and maybe I've reaped a little bit. Don't be unfair with God. Don't be unjust with God. But if you need the altar, I want you to come. You feel free to come. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need to come and pray for a moment and just say, Lord, help me. There's some things going on in my life. I'm going through some things. I'm suffering. I'm suffering physically. Maybe I'm suffering emotionally. Maybe I'm suffering spiritually. But you need to just come and pray about it for a moment. You come. I don't know what causes all that suffering. I wish I could tell you, but I don't. I don't know. I don't know exactly what it is. I do know this. I know that we suffer sometimes just because God wants to get glory somehow from it, and that's His call. Sometimes we suffer because God is wanting someone to learn how to suffer. Maybe our children will learn the proper way to go through difficulties in life and go through them with dignity and not lose our spiritual composure. Maybe you suffer and maybe you're being corrected by God. Maybe you suffer because you have sown and maybe you're now doing some reaping in regard to it. I don't know. Maybe God is trying to teach you something that you desperately need to learn, and that's why you're suffering right now. Maybe it is you're suffering because God is preparing you, and I believe this is the case with all of us. I think if you're suffering, it's because God has something more for you to do. God has something greater for you to do. And this suffering is going to expand your ability. It's going to expand your heart and your compassion and your love and your tenderness and your understanding of pain. Maybe you're suffering and it's going to result in somebody getting saved. Maybe someone will get born again because of that suffering. But as one suffering Christian to another, I want to highly recommend you keep your eyes upon Jesus. He knows what He's doing. He's not trying to destroy you. He's trying to make you. He's not trying to tear you down. He's trying to build you up. He doesn't hate you. He loves you. He's not trying to get something out of you. He's trying to put something in you. That suffering, Jesus suffered as no man, has ever suffered. This is the last time through the song. If you need the altar, you may come. And don't get the wrong impression. Just because someone smiles and just because someone sang during the congregational song service, don't you get the impression that they don't have a burden. There are a lot of people that have burdens and heartaches that you know nothing of. Sometimes the happiest people you know are the ones that carry the greatest burdens. That's good. Fantastic.